You're listening to All Things Cage at Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears. I'm your host, Laura Kuhn, director of the John Cage Trust, and today I'll be talking about an exhibition I created for the Museum of Contemporary Art in Lyon in 2012 to celebrate John Cage's centennial year. In 1980, John Cage wrote a brief 12-minute talk entitled Themes and Variations for presentation at Word of Mouth, an artist's symposium held on the South Pacific island of Ponape. By 1982, the year of its publication, it had grown into an hour-long misostic poem comprising five sections, each to be spoken aloud. Cage's reflective text embodied 15 themes based on the names of 15 men of nearly lifelong significance. Norman O'Brown, Marshall McLuhan, Eric Satie, Robert Rauschenberg, Buckminster Fuller, Marcel Duchamp, Jasper Johns, Henry David Thoreau, James Joyce, Merce Cunningham, David Tudor, Morris Graves, Mark Toby, Arnold Schoenberg, and Daisetsu Taitaro Suzuki. Cage's Themes and Variations was published by Station Hill Press in Barrytown, New York, the work of George and Susan Quasha. Cage rarely tackled the subject head-on, preferring instead to find ways of working which, though coming from ideas, is not about them, or is not about ideas but produces them. Consistent in this regard, the misostic poems comprising Themes and Variations are not about the men named, except coincidentally. Rather, each is explored within the context of one or more of the 110 ideas compiled by Cage specifically for Themes and Variations, drawn from his own published writings. Taken as a whole, these 110 ideas form an essential compendium of philosophical tenets now firmly associated with Cage's life and work. They include such guiding strategies as purposeful purposelessness, art as an imitation of nature in her manner of operation, activity over communication, multiplicity or plurality of centers, fluency in and out, indeterminacy, process over object, chance operations as useful means, devotion, non-intention or the acceptance of silence, and the idea that mind can change. So began my first proposal to Mac Lyon for an exhibition to celebrate John Cage's centennial year. It's a reasonable approach to look at Cage's work through his interest in others, especially when his interest resulted in original compositions arising through his engagement with their works. The most significant number can be attributed to a short list of four: Henry David Thoreau, Marcel Duchamp, James Joyce, and Eric Satie, any one of whom we discovered could serve as the basis of its own exhibition. We quickly fixed on Satie, and this evolved into Cage's Satie, Composition for Museum, an exhibition that would bring together 14 compositions by John Cage that engage with works by Eric Satie into a spatialized and randomized remix. On the first floor of Mac Lyon were 12 of these works: Cheap Imitation from 1969, Corals from 1978, Etc. from 1973, Extended Lullaby from 1992/1994, 4-3 from 1991, Furniture Music, Etc. from 1980, Socrate from 1944, Sports, Perpetual Tango in 1984, and Swinging from 1989, Songbooks, Solos for Voice 3-92 from 1970, Sonicus 2 from 1985, 2-6 from 1992, and Letters to Eric Satie from 1978. The second floor showcased two more works: James Joyce, Marcel Duchamp, Eric Satie and Alphabet from 1982, which was featured on an earlier program on All Things Cage with its central actor, John Kelly, and the first meeting of the Satie Society from 1985-1992, this last, Cage's stunning late life and little-known collaboration with Ben Schiff and Osiris, which merges poetry, performance, visual art, sculpture, and music. To recap, Cage's Alphabet began life as a radio play, a commission from Klaus Schoening for Cologne's West German radio. Working on the principles of collage, Cage brought together a cast of 14 unlikely characters, all near and dear to his heart, including Joyce, Thoreau, Duchamp, and Satie, who are made to speak together, their dialogue comprised of literal quotations, freely adapted historical materials, and lines Cage has simply made up. "What is modern is surely collage," Cage once said, which relates here to both the art of juxtaposition itself and the work's interactivity with the dead. Alphabet is a democratic intermingling of perspectives with unmitigated humor and an unmistakable irreverence for the particulars of history. Alphabet was presented in Cage's Satie Composition for Museum in a new sound installation by Michael Rouse in a two-part soundscape. One heard in surround and comprised of irrelevant sounds, and one more ephemeral, comprised of relevant sounds that were activated by visitors to the museum on four specially designed keyboards. The sounds created for both follow closely Cage's ideas for an unfinished score for Alphabet, the manuscripts for which were also on view. Rouse's surround sound score also incorporated readings by Merce Cunningham as Eric Satie and Jasper Johns as Marcel Duchamp's alter ego, Rose Célavie, recorded for the John Cage Trust's 2001 theatrical adaptation of the work. This technological intermingling of recorded materials resulted in a sounding of the museum's second floor that could change from moment to moment, ensuring an overall sound experience that couldn't help but be quite different from one visit to the next. The first meeting of the Satie Society, a collaboration with Ben Schiff and Osiris, was conceived as a collection of presents for Satie, an invitation by Cage to his esteemed artist friends to fill a Marcel Duchamp-inspired cracked glass valise with words and images bound into 8 handmade books. Contributors to the visual aspects include Jasper Johns, Robert Rauschenberg, Saul LeWitt, Robert Ryman, and Cage himself, while Cage's words, taking the form of lengthy misostic poems, used as source texts, writings by Joyce, Duchamp, Thoreau, and Satie, among others. The work was presented in two ways, as a sculpture, inclusive of its books, and as its books, parsed out across 8 individual vitrines. There was also a communal listening station, encouraging intimate audition of Cage's one and only performance of the work in Bonn in 1985. The idea to make a sounded exhibition of Cage's works was a natural brainstorm, the perfect form given to remarkably interrelated content. It bears resemblance to a Cage music circus, wherein disparate musicians and musics are brought together for purposeful, simultaneous, non-obstructive group performance, but with a strong distinction. For whether Cage's works freely intermingle within an ever-changing soundscape in the museum, or are arranged into a fixed simulation of a single visit, as is heard in the exhibition catalog CD, the works comprising Cage's Satie are thematically related, and thus sound remarkably well together. This came as something of a surprise, but shouldn't have, since all of the works come from something of a single source, revealing in their commingling what are very real interrelationships. All of the works brought together in Cage's Sati exhibit characteristics that are somewhat unusual for him. In turn, they are traditional, modal, subtle, graceful, quiet, and monophonic. We might also see them as oddly subversive, if only for their unabashed beauty. Borrowing from James Pritchett's words about cheap imitation, which aptly describe all of the works in Cage's Sati, these are not the compositions of the severe John Cage, the disciplinarian of the chance operations of the 1950s, or the renouncer of the enduringly controversial lecture on nothing. This is the smiling endorser of everything, the composer who leaned uncompromisingly toward yes, and the author of Lecture on Something, in which he pointedly observes, "And do we need a celebration? We cannot avoid it, since each thing in life is continuously just that." The catalog for Cage's Sati is a CD created by the New York composer Michael Rouse that is a collaged composite of 13 recordings. Fixed, its works randomly arranged and then unwittingly slipped into a modest envelope with essays, pictorial documents, and exhibition views. We'll listen to a lengthy excerpt from the CD, which is itself a simulation of what might well have been experienced in a single visit to the first floor of the museum. The catalog for Cage's Sati was the work of Naomi Yang of Exact Change in Boston, a musician who was long associated with Galaxy 500 and continues to perform with her husband, Damon Krukowski, in the duo Damon and Naomi. It's long out of print, alas, but can sometimes be found on the secondary market. Enjoy. Thank you.
Servant speak, Abraham took the wood. Thank you. Thank you. The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.